Today's reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verses 22 to 32. Jacob's name is changed to Israel. Jacob got up in the middle of the night and took his wives, his 11 children, and everything he owned across to the other side of the river Jabbok for safety. Afterwards, Jacob went back and spent the rest of the night alone. A man came and fought with Jacob until just before daybreak. When the man saw that he could not win, he struck Jacob on the hip and threw it out of joint. They kept on wrestling till the man said, "Let go of me, it's almost daylight." "You can't go until you bless me," Jacob replied. The man asked, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. The man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, for you have wrestled with God and with man. From now on, you will be called Israel." Jacob said, "Now tell me your name." "Don't you know who I am?" he asked. And he blessed Jacob. Jacob said, "I've seen God face to face, and I'm still alive." So he named the place Peniel. The sun was coming up as Jacob was leaving Peniel. He was limping because he'd been struck on the hip, and the muscle from his hip joints had been injured. That's why even today, the people of Israel don't eat the hip muscle of any animal. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's just pray, and then we'll look into God's word some more. Father God, we come to you now. And Lord, we just pray that you would open your word to us now. That Lord, you would speak into our lives, into our hearts. That Lord, you would change us and make us more like you. That Lord, we would see the truth of what you say about us. Lord God, we just pray now that we would know that you are our God. Lord, give me words to speak which are your words, not my own. And Lord, let me be true and honest to your word. In your mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. So today we get to sermon 6 in our current series. We've got one more next week, and then we're going to start something new. Ooh. But for this series, again, like I do every week, I'm just going to quickly recap so we follow the story of where we're going in this series. So we started off in week 1 talking about how God is the God of his people, how he identifies himself as saying, "I'm a God who's in relationship with people, and by that relationship you can understand who I am." And we looked at the words of Jesus, and Jesus said, "I am the God, that God is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, that God is the God of the living and not the God of the dead." He's saying that everything of God brings life. And that's the key to a life in God. A life in God brings life. And then we looked at the next week how God is the God of Adam and Eve, and how he is the God of creation and relationship. And how God, the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together are a community in themselves. They are a relationship in themselves. And how out of the abundance of that love came all of creation. That life and creation is something which comes from the heart of God, is an expression of God's love. And how we are then made to live as people who are in community, in relationships, whether that be husbands and wives or friendships or the community of the church or the people that we know. That community reflects the heart of God, because God in himself is community. And then we looked at how God is the God of Noah, and how God is a God who is just and holy, but equally merciful and loving. That God is this holy, huge God who can't contend with having sin anywhere near him because he is holy. But because God is also loving and merciful, he wasn't satisfied with the fact that humanity had turned away from him. So he wanted to do something to restore that relationship. And then we looked at how God is the God of Abraham. And we looked at how God is the God of promise and of hope. and how God has got a purpose and a plan for each of us, and how God challenges us to step out of our comfort zones into the places that he would have us go. And then we get on to how God is the God of Isaac, and we looked at how God is a God of testing and sacrifice. How God, when we are tested by God, it shows that God believes in us. Because the word says that he never puts us through trials that we cannot cope with. And that when God tests us, it's him saying, I believe in you that you can do this. But maybe you need to understand that yourself that you are able to do this. We also looked at how God is the God of sacrifice, and how the story of Isaac and Abraham and the sacrifice of Isaac is a foreshadowing of who Christ is on the cross. The hill of provision, where actually a way is made for relationship between man and God to be restored. And this week we get to how God is the God of Jacob. And this morning, sort of the key words this morning are God is the God of provision and blessing. Now, this is where we have to be a bit careful this morning, because just like last week was a challenge, talking about how God tests us, this week's difficult because there's a lot of theology out there in the church today of prosperity teaching, which says that if you're a Christian, if your life isn't abundantly amazing, if you're not really wealthy and rich and healthy all the time, then clearly there's something wrong with you as a Christian. Because as a Christian, that's what you should be like. And I think that is a warping of who God actually shows himself to be. I believe God to be a God who provides for our needs and a God who chooses to bless those who love him, but not to an extreme to be boastful in the world, but a way of showing that he loves to give good gifts to his children. So we mustn't ignore that God does provide and God does bless. And it's very easy to go either one way or the other, to go so much into the prosperity gospel that if you come to God, you'll be rich and wealthy for the rest of your life, or to get so offended by that, we go completely the opposite way, and we think that to be Christians, we have to be living in poverty every second of every day. We've got to get a balance in how we approach God and see God as a whole. So the God of provision and blessing, and we'll probably focus more this morning on how God is a God of blessing this morning. But we come to the story of Jacob, and it's a very, very long story, so I'm going to try and cut it down for you today. But ultimately, what's important to know about the story of Jacob is that his mum, Rebecca, falls pregnant, and in her pregnancy, she has some trouble. The fetus in the womb is moving around lots, and it's very troubling her. So she inquires of God, what's going on? And so the Lord comes and brings a prophecy about her two children, and says that first of all, you're going to have twins, and that these twins are going to be the source and the beginning of two great nations. But it says that the older son will submit to the younger son, and that actually the nation of the younger son will be greater and more powerful than the nation of the older son. So immediately what we have when we come to the story of Jacob is an understanding of where we get our qualification for our future from. You see, in the world, Esau, who is the older brother of Jacob, the older twin, Esau, should have been the greatest. He should have gained all the blessing, all the provision, because he was the oldest son. And in those times, the oldest son inherited the estate. He inherited the family name. He inherited all that the family had. Whereas the younger one would inherit much less of that. So it's the wrong way round. But God says the younger will be served by the older. What qualifies us in our Christian lives for the work of God is not what the world what the world's qualification is. It's the fact that God has called us or chosen us that qualifies us for God. Esau should have had the qualification by the world, but Jacob was the one that God had chosen to do great things through. So the blessing of God was on Jacob. The qualification came from the fact that Jacob was chosen by God. We get our qualification from God, not from the world. That's the first thing we need to know about the story of Jacob. That the people who God chooses are those who are qualified. And for us as Christians, we have received Christ, and therefore we are qualified because of Christ. Not because of anything that we can do. Not because we can try and live better, more righteous lives. We're qualified by the grace of Christ. That is our qualification. We are made righteous in Jesus. And as I said a few weeks ago, we live righteously not to try and get more grace. We live righteously in order to live in the heartbeat of God, to hear from God, to be living in relationship with God in a greater way. But nothing we can ever do can make us more saved, more righteous than we already are in Jesus. He has done it. He has made us righteous, complete. It's a completed action. We are saved by grace. So what we see in the story of Jacob is the story of the Christian life. That what qualifies us in our life is God. And for us as Christians, Christ qualifies us. If you're here today thinking, I can't do things in my life because I have done bad things, I have done things wrong. If your faith is in Christ, you are then qualified to do amazing things for God. Because your sin cannot hold you back. Because that isn't the thing that qualifies you. It's Christ who qualifies you. Chosen by God. But in the story of these two twins being born, the first one is called Esau, which means hairy. And he's a really, really hairy little baby. But he's also called Edom, which means red. Which is a bit random. And maybe that's because he had problems in being born. Who knows? Maybe his hair was red. Maybe he was a ginger. We don't know. Who knows? But what's interesting is he then becomes the father of the Edomites, who live in the Red Mountains outside of Israel. They're the people who carved the temple at Petra. They're the Edomites. That's where they were. They lived in the mountains. They were the people of the Red Mountains. But Jacob becomes the father of Israel. And when Jacob is born, he is clutching the heel of his older brother. And so whereas Esau gets called Esau because he's hairy, Jacob gets called Jacob because he's clutching the heel of his brother. And Jacob means to grasp at the heel. Or figuratively speaking, the deceiver, one who deceives, someone who's a bit tricky. And that's the identity that he is then given by those around him. His identity is given as someone who's a trickster, who's a bit cunning, a bit canny. And what we see in the story of Jacob when he's growing up is, first of all, he tricks his brother out of his birthright, and then he tricks his dad into giving him the father's blessing, which is meant to go to the older child. He's quite a tricky person. He's a bit of a trickster. But actually, what is he actually doing? He's someone who is striving for something greater than he already is. He strives for the birthright. He strives for the father's blessing. He strives for something greater than he is. That's what is the spirit behind his deceptive nature. He's striving for something greater. He's striving for something greater. But more importantly, he's striving for the things of man. He's striving for the blessing of his father. He's striving for the birthright of his brother. Because he thinks that that will bring him the fulfillment in his life. But it doesn't. And because he steals the blessing from his brother, he then runs away. And when he runs away, he then encounters God in this incredible vision when he's sleeping. And it's a story about Jacob's ladder, where the angels come from heaven to earth and earth to heaven. It's the place where heaven is open. And God comes and speaks to Jacob and says, "The covenant I've made with Abraham and with your father Isaac, I am going to bring about through you." He's just spent his life striving for his birthright, striving for the blessing. And God comes and says, "Actually, you know what? there's something greater to strive for. There's something which is a bigger purpose and a bigger plan. That Jacob, you are part of something which goes beyond just you. It's something that I started back with Abraham, and I'm going to do something amazing into the future. So God comes and says, I'm going to bless you, Jacob. I'm going to bring you blessing. I'm going to do things for you. You've been striving for the blessing of man, but now I'm going to come and bless you. I'm going to come and bring what you are striving for. But then, he then runs away to his father Laban and meets someone who is a trickster. Because Laban tricks Jacob into marrying his daughter Leah when Jacob wants to marry his daughter Rachel. He wakes up one morning and discovers that actually he's next to Leah and not next to Rachel. And he has to work, first of all, he has to work 7 years in order to try and get Rachel, who it turns out to be Leah. And when he then realizes the mistake that's been made, or the trick that's been played, he then works a further 7 years in order to get Rachel. You see, the thing that Jacob had to then learn, after being told about this great blessing that he was going to be part of, he then had to learn faithfulness. And we've talked about this in the last couple of weeks. He had to learn about being faithful. That actually the things that you desire, the things that you want, are you going to be faithful to those things? Are you going to actually strive in your life for those things? Or do you want it now, like this? Or are you going to put the work in to say, I'm going to be faithful to the purposes that I'm after? The desire of his heart was Rachel, and he did anything he could to be faithful in striving towards that. God was teaching him something really important, that you've got to be faithful to the ways of God. And that's when God's blessing comes mightily. Because God has to trust us that we're going to be faithful with the provision that he provides. We talked again last week about the parable of the talents. If you're faithful in little, I will give you much to be faithful over. Before Jacob could become the father of this great nation of Israel, he had to learn about being faithful. Could God trust him that when God put a passion in his heart, was he going to be faithful to that passion? Was he going to see it through thick or through thin? There's probably days when he was working in the fields for Laban when he thought, why don't I just go home? I can't be bothered anymore. It's just too much effort. It's too much work. I've been striving and struggling now. I've been herding sheep now for 7 years for Leah. And now I want Rachel and I have to do it another 7 years. I'll just give up. I'll just go. It'll be much easier that way. But he didn't. He learnt the lesson. He learnt the lesson. And then what happens with this? He then has the encounter which we've just heard read to us today, where he meets this man on the road who he's not quite sure who he is. And the Bible tells us that this person is God. And he wrestles with this person, striving for the blessing of this man. Striving for the blessing of God. He spends all night wrestling with this person. He is faithfully saying, I want that no matter what the cost is. I want that blessing of God no matter what the cost is. And when the night comes to an end and the morning comes, the man says, you have wrestled with God. Now I give you a new name. It's Israel, which means someone who strives and struggles with God. You see, he was given the name at his birth, which said, the striving that's in your heart is deceptive. But what God says, the striving in your heart is faithfulness that can be used for the glory of God. When we encounter God and we're faithful to the purposes of God, it's our identity that changes. When we meet with God, our identity changes. We've been talking about this in the last few weeks, about identity. God changes his name from Jacob the deceiver to someone who struggles and wrestles with God. He changes his name. And that name becomes the name of the nation of Israel. When we encounter God, our identity changes. It goes from the identity that the world has given us the identity that God gives us. He was called the deceiver, someone who was tricky. And God saw that his heart was someone who strove for things greater than himself. But what Jacob had to learn was how to direct and channel that energy. And this is why the Bible says that God is made strong in our weakness. Because what the world sees as a weakness, God says that can be your greatest strength. God took Jacob's weakness of being a trickster and turned it into someone who he turned that striving for something better, something greater, and he turned it to the purposes of God. He changed his identity from what the world had said he was going to be into what God said he would be. He was faithful to God. He was faithful to the plan of God. And God blessed him and said, "Now that you have been faithful in a season, I am now going to provide for you sons in abundance. I am going to increase what you have, not just because, but for the purpose of growing a nation." That's why God blessed him with possessions and material things. It was for a purpose. When God gives us things, it's for a purpose. When God blesses us, it's for a purpose. From the very beginning of Jacob's life, he had a purpose to be someone who was a strong nation. Everything that God provided for Jacob wasn't for Jacob's sake, it was for the sake of the future plan. God blesses us with things for a purpose, because everything belongs to God. It's not ours, it belongs to God. And the reason why we tithe in church, for example, is it's a recognition that actually everything that I have belongs to God. I give my money to God to say that actually, God, this is yours. I give it back to you for the purposes of you. I give my time in church to say, actually, my time is not my own. It belongs to God. I give it back to God. I serve people in church to say that actually, as God has served me, so I serve God. We are given things in order for a purpose and a blessing, normally for others. That's the identity shift. God wants to bless us so that we are a blessing. Not just because, but so that we can be a blessing. We can be like Christ. And Jacob was someone who understood the importance of identity and the power of a name. He grew up knowing, being told that he was a trickster, and his name was changed to Israel. And we know that that must have had a profound effect upon him, because when his son Benjamin is born, get this, his wife Rachel dies in childbirth. She struggles in childbirth and she dies sadly. The child is born and she dies just a few minutes after. And when the child is born, she says, he's going to be called Ben-Oim, which means son of my troubles. And Jacob says, no, he's going to be called Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. Jacob understood how what we call each other, what our identity is claimed as, can have affect our whole being. What have people said you are? What have people made you out to be? And is it true? Is that what God says you are? Is that the truth of God in your life? Because we can be people who live lives bound by the words of other people on our lives. You've been told that you're not very faithful. You've been told you're not very good at something. You've been told that actually you're a horrible sinner. You've been told all these different things and you can't shake it off. But is it the truth that God would have us know about ourselves? Is it the truth of God in our lives? Is it the identity and the blessing that God gives us? See, it says in the Word, it says in Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. If you dwell and you think you're one thing, that's what you become. Jacob became a trickster because everyone said he was a trickster. But when God came and said to him, actually, you're not a trickster, you're someone who struggles and strives after God. That's your true identity, Jacob. And that's what people have misunderstood in your life. So shake off the name Jacob and start living as Israel. Start living in the truth that God speaks over you. But you've got to believe it yourself. You've got to believe it for yourself. It's got to be a truth in your heart, because as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. If you are someone who is always pessimistic, you will have a pessimistic life. If you're someone who is positive, you will have a more positive life. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Identity is a crucial thing we need to understand as Christians. Who we are. Who does God say I am? Not what the world says I am, but what God says I am. Because God says your weaknesses become your strengths. The things that people cast you down for are the very things that I'm going to use to glorify you. We think about throughout Scripture, and all the people who God chooses to use are people who the world would cast aside. Moses, the murderer. Paul, the persecutor of the Jews and a murderer as well. We've got David, who's a young shepherd boy. What does he know about being king? All through Scripture, we have people who are disqualified by the world, but God says, no, it's that very thing that will make you blessed by God and will make you be used by God. So this morning, what do you call yourself? And is that calling of yourself the truth of what God calls you? God is your father and you are his child. That's your true identity. Maybe you need to learn to be more faithful in the season that you're in. Maybe the things that God has given you, you need to bless others with. Jacob had a purpose from before his life. And the blessing that God brought was for that purpose. Everything that God gives you is for a purpose that he's put on your life. I pray that you would find that. Let's pray.